B-Pod Studios.
Hey, everybody, and welcome to Checkpoint Daily. It is the first day, the first Monday, the first weekday of what feels like a giant sunrise in the whole country.
You look out the window, and it's bright and sunshiny, and it's like...
Yeah, dogs are barking, birds are chirping.
Truthfully, it is actually a beautiful day in Michigan today, but like it could be a tornado outside, and we'd be like, oh, but look at that sun on the horizon. It's beautiful out there today.
It feels different, but we will get into that a little bit later on. But I am your host, Norris Howard, joined here, as always, by my lovely co-host, Chad Callahan. To my left, Chad, how are you?
I'm breathing that sigh of relief with, you know, half of America.
Yeah, pretty much. But you have a Garfield. He has a Garfield shirt on.
I wore this for Monday.
First of all, I have always loved Garfield. I love Garfield.
Well, he's one of my favorites.
And I love that you, I keep getting a fake call from fake people. But anyway.
Lovely.
I love Garfield, so thank you for wearing that shirt. Also, in the building, Callie Sloan. What's up, sis?
You know what? I don't have to move to Canada. It's a... It was a happy day in our household, along with the households of about 50.7% of Americans. So, feeling pretty good.
What is it, 73 million people, something like that?
75.
Oh, five?
It's currently at 75,577.
It's crazy that the numbers are still growing.
Well, let's talk about that, because obviously, you know, before we get deep into the video games, and it's crazy to think that in any other year, this would easily be the biggest week of the year for all gamers involved.
Correct.
Without a doubt.
Yeah.
And somehow, on multiple fronts, 2020 has rendered new consoles moot almost. We got to very quickly talk about, obviously, the U.S. presidential election was called by multiple media outlets on Saturday.
In
the morning.
Yeah, what is it, 9:30, 10-ish?
Late morning, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was about 10:30 Eastern time, call for President-elect Joe Biden. And I just want to say this. We spent a lot talking around the election on this show.
We did.
But I'm going to just go out here and put it out there. A lot of people in this country feel a lot more hopeful and a lot safer with that. So that's
a lot
all
of people
I'm
who look like me and Norris and Chad, especially.
Pretty much. But where were you guys when you found out the news? Because I was not at home, strangely.
I was about to say, I saw your tweets or something that you posted, and you looked like you were enjoying a brunch of sorts.
I was brunching hard.
Yeah. I'm still afraid to brunch. I've not
COVID
done
concerns.
It yet. COVID concerns. Yeah. I haven't gotten myself to go out to eat other than for my birthday.
We have not sat in a restaurant yet.
Where I went, I made sure that it was very socially distanced. Literally, there was no one near us for about 14 feet.
Nice.
So we were incredibly distanced, and word out to that particular restaurant. I don't want to give out a name because that sounds like an endorsement. But I mean, it was a great place.
It was fun.
Yeah,
Shout
them
out.
Well, I was at Bobcat Bonnie's in Corktown.
There you go.
You know what I'm about to say? I love that place, and they just reopened near me, and I'm about to go hard. So love to them. No spawn.
Yeah, so you saw it on the TV in Bobcat Bonnie's?
Yeah, so, okay, the funny thing is I go in, and Corktown is one of the places of Detroit that has had changing demographics, and it was me and one other black dude in there. Me and two other black dudes, right? And I'm sitting down, we finally got our food, I'm sipping my coffee, which is being chased by a mimosa, and I turn around and I'm just looking at the TV screen, and MSNBC flashed it on the screen first, and I literally went, oh, they called it. And the other black guy looks at me, he's like, what? I'm like, they called it, look. And he turns around and he goes, fuck yeah! Like, he screams at the top of his lungs. The whole bar erupts in this giant cheer, and he stops. He stops. Everybody else is cheering. He stops. He turns back around and looks at me, and he just points at me, and he just nods. And he just goes, yeah.
Yeah.
And I look back at him, and I was like, I gave him the Kobe fist pump.
Hell yeah.
I had to give him the Kobe fist pump because it was, again, it was a moment of solidarity. We felt very close, and this was a stranger. But that's how it was, man. And you saw celebrations erupt all across the country, of which I'm sure many of you participated
in. That's how I found out. Was I was at home just, you know, relaxing. You know, I actually slept in on Saturday.
Nice.
I woke up to see Twitter showing lots of videos of New York, literally the entire city of New York, just screaming at the top of their lungs. I was like, I wish I had that here. That was the one thing that, you know, that you don't get, like, living in the suburbs. Is like,
you don't
get that, like,
no, the partying in the streets is not. Although we did have people going down our street, like, blaring their horn and stuff like that. We got a lot of that.
Yeah, there were people in downtown Detroit, not far from where I live. It was lit. It was a lot of people, you know, with signs and being really excited. And Callie, you said it absolutely true. It was like the Death Star exploding.
No, it was. Like, I've already seen the video where it's like the scene in Atlanta and the scene in Washington, D.C. interspersed with, like, the scene on Naboo and the scene on Coruscant as, like, the Emperor's statues are coming down. Like, it's a great montage. By the way, the Animu memes for the last week have been on point.
All of them.
Any meme.
Yeah. This
Any
was
meme.
The strong... This might have been easily one of the strongest meme weekends.
Yeah.
Yep. I mean, that we've ever had.
Ever.
And it was so strong that, like, my mom was sending me memes.
Yeah.
Memes that were not, like, fake. You know how you see a Facebook meme.
Yeah.
This is clearly...
This is a mom meme.
This is a mom... No, she was sending me, like... The new hotness.
Ooh.
And I was sitting back like, Mom, how did you get this? And it just, it was going around. The meme game was super strong.
Sarah and I were in our computer room, in our streaming room, and I just had refreshed the page, and it suddenly showed 290 instead of two. It was at 290 when I saw it. Yeah, it had been at 253, and then all, like, because a bunch of states got called really quickly.
Yeah. They called the
Nevada,
Pennsylvania. Georgia? They called Pennsylvania and Nevada together.
Yeah,
and that's what put them over the top.
And that, so then I saw the number was above 270, and I'm like, oh, maybe it's just because it glitches all the time when you do the refresh, and then it has to, like, self correct, and then it wasn't correcting, and I'm like, wait, what? And we saw the news, and we were like, we grabbed each other, and we cried a little bit.
Because
it was like, we don't have to move. This
is great. No, it was, like I said, and, you know, for anybody out there listening who may be on the other side of things, I'm not, you know, again, you have your right to vote for whoever it is that you want to vote for. That is your right as an American. But this is how it ebbs and flows, man. Winners and losers, smiles and cries. This is the way it goes, okay? So... That's all we're going to say about that, and I swear to you, there's no more talk about elections on this show.
From here on
another 4 years.
We'll see you in 4 years. For now, it's gaming until then.
Well, until, like, AOC decides to run, and then we have a gamer president, so.
We'll have to talk about that.
By then, we're getting her on the show.
She's going to be on the show. Absolutely.
While we're at it, though, we also do need to talk about today as it marks something else. Not only are we on the road to January 20th, we are also on the final day of the current gen of gaming.
That is true.
This is it. Tomorrow, the Xbox Series X is scheduled to launch.
Yep.
And
later
we will enter.
Week, we get PS5.
Yep. On Thursday, the PS5 is set to drop. Tomorrow, we enter the next gen.
Wow.
So, since that's the case, I thought I'd give everyone on the show your final chance.
Okay.
To call your shot. What are your bold-ass predictions
about
the next gen of gaming?
Here's my big prediction, and I don't think it's particularly controversial, but I think we see Xbox get smashed again.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe not as bad as they did with PS4 and Xbox One. I think that was a very sort of pivotal moment in all of gaming because the launch of the Xbox One was so bungled and so bad. Neither one of these consoles will launch that poorly.
Yeah.
Neither one are coming out the gate that bad. So I think that it will look like Xbox makes up a little bit of ground. But I think it further confirms that Microsoft might be in the better position for the future. I think their investments just show that.
We're of similar mind because my prediction here is that, yes, Sony's going to win this gen, but it's going to prove to be a pretty pyrrhic victory in that xCloud and Game Pass are going to be the true victors of this gen of gaming, I feel like.
Yeah.
I feel like, and as we start looking towards the following gen, Microsoft will be like, we don't need a console.
Yep.
Game Pass rules all.
I was going to say my prediction is, this is the last gen that anyone's going to care about console outside of Nintendo.
Yeah.
Yeah, because Nintendo will always be Nintendo.
The reason why Nintendo is going to be okay is because there's always going to be, outside of the phone, a handheld market. I feel like it's just going to be there. Yeah. Having a dedicated console piece in your hand for flights and traveling and things like that, it's always going to be there. You don't want to use your phone. Yeah. I hate using my phone. I'd rather use my iPad when traveling versus using my phone. So maybe things will switch to like more tablet style, which, I mean, technically it already has. But yeah, I don't think anyone's going to care.
Well, and the thing about Nintendo that I think you're absolutely right is that, you know, for Nintendo, your kid is always going to walk up and grab something off the shelf. And we know Nintendo, even with all the third-party support with the Switch, is a more family-friendly ecosystem just altogether. And I think that that's something that they will want to emphasize. But I think, again, Nintendo will stand on its own two feet, as always. I think they've learned from the Wii U.
Yeah.
I think you won't see that again. I think they'll continue to innovate. I am interested to see what Nintendo does do in the next gen in terms of their cloud stuff, because they had a trial version out for the game Control, which is a great game, by the way, that is running off a cloud. You put the client on your Switch, and you could play a essentially very graphically intense game
on your Switch.
On your Switch, off the cloud, works pretty well. Is it perfect? No.
Well, yeah.
But works very well. So I think as we look at the cloud and we look at that becoming much more of a possibility, you can't help but say Microsoft is willing to lose two generations straight in order to win ultimately in what is the future of video games.
With that said, though, here's the one thing, because we're sitting here talking about how Xbox and Microsoft, you know, they're clearly on a path to the future, not the now. The only thing, and I'm kind of curious if they're going to do it, I think Sony might try to make the play towards more VR strategies, because that is an avenue that they could go and own.
It could, but I think Sony has gotten to a point where they said, we are okay with consoles.
Yeah.
We are okay with the console idea being ours. Just in the same sense of Nintendo saying we are okay with having sort of a scuffed console, but running handhelds, essentially. Yeah. We're okay with that. And maybe we get to this point where there's this sort of triumvirate that they all sort of coexist to a certain degree, where Nintendo runs handheld, Sony runs consoles, and everything else belongs to Microsoft. That very much so looks like a possibility to me, based off everything both of them are doing. But if we're talking about this gen and this gen alone, Xbox is about to get clobbered. I don't think it'll be close.
I'll see that, but I honestly believe that the Game Pass sales will rise on PC.
Yeah. Absolutely.
I think 100%.
Absolutely. But with that said, we're going to take a break right quick, and then we're going to return and talk about, you know, what were some of our favorite moments, our favorite games from this past generation. Because with the gen being over, yes, you will play a lot of these games on the new consoles, but this will be the swan song for many franchises and many games that we've come to love. And so we're going to talk about some of our favorite games from this past gen.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Step into the secret lair of the great Landis and Professor Awesome on The Other Identity. Join in on the adventure of a lifetime as Robbie Landis and Marvel alumni Ben Morris team up to bring you the best and worst comic book opinions. From ranking the best live-action Batman to bringing you the essentials on heroes like Spider-Man, discover a whole new world of superheroes and comics on The Other Identity. You can download at CheckpointXP.com or from Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever it is that you find your podcasts.
Hey Hey, everybody, and welcome back to Checkpoint Daily. Norris Howard, your host here, alongside Callie Scales and Chad Callahan. We definitely want you guys to check out The Other Identity. If you're into comic books, if you're into Marvel movies, all things nerd that come off of the pages, make sure you guys are checking out The Other Identity. That is hosted by Robbie Landis and Ben Morrison. You can find it wherever you find all your Checkpoint properties. That's on wherever you can find your podcast, Spotify and Google and all that good stuff. So, Callie, yep. you brought to me this morning saying, you know, this is the end of the gen.
It is.
I think we should give this generation its just desserts.
It's postmortem.
That's right.
Yep. I think it's time for us to take a look back at the last, I guess it would be, what?
8 years.
8 years or so. And look at some of the success stories, some of the failures. And we're going to go through and just give some of our class awards to the last gen.
We'll laugh, we'll cry.
Yeah.
What made you laugh and cry? All right. I mean, let's start off big. I mean, what was the best game of the gen? The best game of the last 8-9 years?
You know, I'm going to have to say this, and it's a tie for me because Cyberpunk isn't out.
Yeah, that's fair.
Well, I'm going to give that to next gen.
All right, fair.
That'll be probably one of the first next gen games, yeah.
But to me, it's a tie between 7 Remake and Red Dead 2. And the reason why I say those two games is because it's two very opposite ends of the spectrum when it comes to how much care was put into a game. When you look at Final Fantasy VII Remake, it is fan service manifest.
Yes, it is.
Okay, it is everything everyone asked for from that game and more. Nobody in this room, and I don't think anybody who knew it was an idea, expected the 7 Remake to be as good as it is.
Yeah.
It was... No one.
Yeah.
Red Dead, on the opposite end of the spectrum, is almost too much game.
Yeah. A lot of people are saying that.
It's intimidating,
but the level of detail of the fact that when I pick up a catalog to order a gun at a gun store and I can read all of the text, it is written in that style. People took the time to do that. There's all these things, all this virtuosity put into that game. I definitely gotta give it to that with an honorable mention to Assassin's Creed Origins and Odyssey.
Nice. Chad?
I have a weird version of it because I was trying to think of a game, like any game that was just this console that like truly inspired me outside of the obvious of like Final Fantasy VII.
And Fortnite.
Fortnite is going to be kind of lumped into this idea that I have. Yeah. But I'm going to give it to kind of like GTA 5, which I know technically started before this. And I'm also going to throw in...
They helped launch this gen.
But they launched this... they're going to launch into the next gen.
Yeah.
And that's my point. I feel like the idea that GTA 5 having this long run and just still continuing to grow...
I mean, it's an MMO at this point.
It's an MMO. And then also a renaissance on Minecraft. Yeah. Like, these are two things that you would never... Like, almost 10 years each have. And they're holding strong on the new gen or the most recent gen and probably going to hold strong into the next gen. They deserve a spot. Like, they were the highlight of these
amazing,
last 10 years.
Yeah, I agree.
And that's the bulk of last gen.
I think that's very important, Callie.
You know, I had one that I was going to say, and I'm going to save it for another category. I think the most fun that I had just sitting down and playing a game this gen was probably Spider-Man. I really enjoyed Spider-Man this time around. So I would give it to that. Moving on, how about the worst game of the gen? Which one bombed on an epic level?
Anthem.
Anthem's a good one.
Anthem is not bad and not one that I had thought of.
Anthem's a good one.
Anthem is so bad I forgot about it.
But I'm going to give it to something that had high expectations, had a good track record for the longest time, and then bombed, and that's Tony Hawk Pro Skater 5.
Ooh.
Because
THPS 5 was awful.
It was so bad.
Well, the problem was it's like it's one of those situations that I feel like Halo Infinite's going to run into in this next one, where it's like, why are the graphics the way they are for the gen that it is? And then the controls not being what it needs to be. It wasn't as smooth as like even previous stuff. And then they come out with 1 and 2 Remake and like, that's fine.
And they're perfect.
And it's fine. Like, why couldn't you do... I mean, I know it's a couple years ago, but still, like, what... What happened?
Yeah. I don't know. For me, I didn't want to pick, like, some random game, like, I don't know, like RBI Baseball or something. Yeah, something right. Like, where I want it to be a game people, like, actually
like
heard of and maybe
A.
tried. A AAA title. For me, I think the worst game of this gen is a twofer because it goes to Star Wars Battlefront 1 and 2. Mm. One game for being half-finished when they released it and being completely insulting with their DLC policy. And the other for ending the loot box industry as we know it. It was so egregious.
Yeah, those are pretty bad games. But I got to get a nod to Anthem simply because at the end of the day, Battlefront got fixed. It got fixed.
It's fair.
Right? Anthem never got fixed.
That's true.
All right. How about you give me your rookie of the gen? So best new franchise or developer?
Best new franchise.
See, I don't
that one's
best
real
best
tough.
New.
Best new franchise or developer? I can lead off if you like.
Yeah.
I'll start it off. I'm going to say Horizon.
That's a good one.
I think Horizon Zero Dawn, now that it is officially a franchise at this point. I thought that game, talk about a game that for me that came out of nowhere, a game I saw the trailers of and thought, all right, robot dinosaurs as a concept, I'm not opposed.
I actively hated it. I actively thought it was stupid.
Yeah, but then it came out and you're like, actually, it's really good.
Well,
yeah.
It came out, you spent a couple of years sitting on it, and then you played it.
And I was like, wow, I'm stupid.
This game's great.
This game is great. I think new franchise for me, I think there's a few. I definitely want to say, obviously, Overwatch. That's new this gen.
Yeah, I guess
Overwatch is a new franchise this gen, and I think for what it did, even though people, you can't have a game that many people want to hate on and not have it at least somewhat successful. I feel the same way about Halo. I hate Halo, but I would never say it's a bad game. I hate Gears. I would never say Gears is a bad game. But I think Overwatch is a great new franchise. Also want to give some love to a very, very recent new entry, which is Hades. I think Hades has gotten a lot of people interested into roguelikes, and it's also the horniest game. The horniest
H word on main.
Game. Yeah,
it is in fact horny on main.
Yeah,
I don't want to sit here and think of a game specifically, but I want to. They're not new by any stretch of the imagination, but I feel like they've definitely upped their game.
This is where they came into their own.
They came into their own. Is I want to throw the developer of Devolver Digital in here.
Facts.
As like
who had heard of Devolver
Facts.
Digital before?
I think
this
you know what? I think if we were going to give a nod to developer who like
came into the gen
and ran it, Devolver.
Devolver did some good. They know their lane. They're with the smaller titles and things like that. But who knew Fall Guys was literally going to take over the world the way it did?
Well, it's not just that. It's just that they don't have many misses.
That's true. Yeah. Well,
they don't have a lot
of
misses.
Their games do well.
When the things that I don't know, I can't think of a miss off the top of my head.
No,
but if
Guns
they have
Hotline
a miss,
Miami.
It's one of those things where they do such a good job at knowing what's going to hit that they focus on them. So if there is a miss, it's kind of like swept under the rug.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. Biggest disappointment of this gen, whether it be a game, a developer, or just a concept, biggest disappointment of the gen. For me, it has got to be the riding into the sunset that we are seeing of Blizzard. For a company that came into this gen at the height of their power and grandeur in North America.
And for the first half of it, I mean,
continued
with Overwatch, you were like, whoa.
And then I just feel like that company is on the outs, and they are going to be like the next like great American game company to just fade away.
Yeah, I would say a big disappointment for me, honestly, is just the lack of risk taken by the big AAA studios. I felt like with the PS2 and PS3 era, a game like The Last of Us was a risk. You took something that was formulaic with your Uncharted games, and you put it into this really gritty mixture of Uncharted and, you know, Left 4 Dead and The Walking Dead, and you made something that was absolutely brilliant. And I think you saw with a lot of AAA games this gen that there was just not that same level of risk-taking when it came to a lot of games. Even some of the best games, a surprise game that I love, Ghost of Tsushima, it doesn't revolutionize anything.
No, it doesn't do anything crazy.
It's just
new.
Polish.
Yeah.
It's just, you know, taking what already works to the next step. So I would say that's the biggest disappointment for me is I feel like there was not enough creativity and risk-taking outside of, you know, your Devolver Digitals and stuff like that.
You know, I'm gonna piggyback off of yours and add on an extra level of like VR and mocap. I expected more, like, because they really, the Xbox 360, the PlayStation 3 was all about, here's motion controls, here's the Wii U,
right,
and all this.
And the PSVR stuff was supposed to change the game.
And then it fell. And then we were kind of like left in this plateau of like, well, this is what we have and this is where we're going to stay. And then they went back to like normal, everyday average gaming.
You're right.
And then every once in a while we'll get a port like Skyrim. But like Half-Life Alyx, amazing. It can be done. So that it shows that something that was just kind of put under like a rock somewhere and forgotten about can be done well. So I'm really disappointed in that, because I would have committed to VR if it was done a little bit better.
So I know we're almost out of time. We got one more that we're going to go through quickly, and that is one thing this gen did well is it was the renaissance of the indie game.
Yes.
So what's your best indie title of the last gen? Because this gen did indie games for real.
You know what? I gave love to Hades already, so I'm going to say Celeste.
Wow. Celeste is great. Just found out that the main character is, in fact, confirmed trans. Very excited about that.
I'm
going to
say Celeste. Taking the very, very simple concept of a platformer. That's all it is a platformer. And putting that level of narrative and nuance into it with a soundtrack that slapping. Celeste is definitely one of my favorite indie games of the year.
Not going to shock anyone here. For me, it's Undertale. It's a game that it would make my top five game of the gen, much less indie game of the gen. Beautiful music, beautiful story, beautiful gameplay. Perfect.
Yep.
I want to say Among Us, but that's not really a console game. So
it doesn't have to be. It's just of the gen.
Of the gen? All right. Okay, fine. I'm going to throw it out to Among Us. For being a game that was 2 years old, no one gave a crap about it, it was hard to find people to play with, to all of a sudden just like blowing up.
Yeah.
Come on now. You got to give it love. That and Fall Guys are the two things that were the biggest shock in
well music. And I think if we're going to talk about this gen, we have to give love to, and this is going to sound weird, but we got to give love to PUBG in terms of one of the most influential, one of the most influential games in the history of video games.
Yes, we know it started with Rust and DayZ. We know.
Yes, we
but
know
it didn't
that.
Get popular.
Right.
It didn't get popular. PUBG is what, you know, shot it into the stratosphere.
And Fortnite ran.
Yeah, and Fortnite, you know, PUBG had to struggle and run and fall and die. So
Fortnite
could
make
fly.
$1 billion.
Exactly. So I think there's a lot of love to be had for PUBG and what it did to video games. It is the Street Fighter 2 of shooters.
Yep.
In terms of, you know, ushering in the Battle Royale genre. But that's sort of our postmortem of the gen. Obviously, there'll be more deep dives on this on the website, checkpointxp.com, where I'm pretty sure everybody will be giving their takes in terms of what were some of the best video games of the gen. And on top of that, you can find a write-up of this particular segment coming from Callie on the website, so make sure you guys check that out as well.
We bid farewell to the 8th generation of video game consoles.
And upon the morrow, the sun rises on the 9th generations of video games. We hope they do not suck.
Hey, what's up? It's James Campbell. Every week on Checkpoint XP On Demand, I'm joined by my co-hosts Weird Beard and Robbie Landis as we bring you a layman's perspective on all things esports and gaming. So whether it's the latest in Overwatch, Ninja doing something crazy, or a Mario Battle Royale, we'll cover it. You can get it on Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts from.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.